Parshas Mishpatim is a most unusual Torah portion. And we could spend the rest of the morning just talking about Parshas Mishpatim, but we wouldn't actually learn anything. So instead, we're just going to zero in on several verses that speak about a particular phenomenon, a legal phenomenon, and we're going to learn something. Learn about the goring ox today. Chapter 21, verse 28. Every two or three verses here in this parsha is actually like a parsha unto itself, or a portion unto itself, which deals with a particular notion, a detail in Jewish law. Pasuk Kaf Ches opens the notion of the goring ox, which we speak about now, and then in a couple of verses it gets completed. V'chiyigach shoyd es ish, if an ox might gore a person. Or literally to translate that, if he gores a man, oy es isha, an adam is a person, an ish is a man, an ish is a woman. So if he gores a man or a woman, v'meis, the ox must die, not just any death. Sokel yisokel hasher, this ox will be stoned. V'loy yeochel es besarei, and his meat shall not be eaten. Ubal hasher, and the owner of this wild ox, Noki, he's free, he's clean. So let's take a look at this verse. What does this mean? V'chiyigach shor. So Rashi says, first and foremost, you need to understand we are not talking about a goring ox. It says, v'chiyigach shor, if an ox gores, but it's not what we're talking about. Because the notion of the goring ox is but an example. It's one of many possibilities. Really, it's echad shor, ve'echad kol behema v'chay ve'if. It doesn't matter if it be an ox, or any other kind of animal, or wild beast, or even a bird. If an animal kills a person, then this is what has to happen. So then why does the Torah talk about an ox? If it's talking about a Rottweiler, if it's talking about a crazy parrot, why does it talk about an ox? And the answer is, lafi shedibur hakosav behema. The pasuk, the verse, speaks about things which are common, things which might have happened on a regular basis. In antiquity, and it wasn't so long ago, a short maybe 100 years ago, there were still oxen that were walking the streets. In certain parts of the world, you can still see it. There's still horses in the street, oxen in the street. And because we might see animals in the street, and because the ox is the animal who is most prone to behave violently, and can most easily take a life. So that's why the Torah talks about an ox, but doesn't necessarily talk about an ox. Really, it could talk about any kind of wild animal, or animal who's gone wild. So the ox has to be killed. And the obvious question is, why are we killing an ox? What did the ox do? It's just a dumb ox. He doesn't know what he's doing. Why would you carry out punitive measures on an ox that doesn't understand?
Wait, do it again?
He might do it again, so lock him up.
No, it's jail.
Then why do you have to stone him? Then shecht him. That's a good question. And feed his meat to the poor. Here he gets stoned, and nobody gets the benefit. What's the point?
To teach oxen in general a lesson.
To teach oxen a lesson? Really?
That's it. They'll learn not to gore anymore.
Well, do you think oxen will learn? This exactly is the question. So the Rambam says, it's not a punishment for an ox. That makes no sense. You don't punish oxen. Well, then who are we punishing?
The owner.
His animal is dead, and not only is his animal dead, but even when, so to speak, after the demise of the animal, you can't use the animal. Can't use him. He's stoned. And the Torah says, not only can't you use him, but in fact, you're not allowed to eat his meat. We'll talk about that in a minute. Ramban, he has a different approach. He says, it's a really good question. And I don't have a really good answer. He says, Gzeiros HaMelech. That's what Hashem said. We don't necessarily understand it. That's the way it is. God said that when the ox or parrot or whatever animal it is kills a person, it has to be killed. End of story. Anybody that kills an animal that kills a person must be killed. Are you going to say the animal didn't learn a lesson? His cousins don't know any better. He didn't know what he was doing anyway. That's what lions do. If you threw somebody into the lion's den, that's what he's going to do. You know that story that happened, was it a year and a half ago? with a chimpanzee, that kid who fell into the right? Yeah. You didn't hear about it? Anyway, the gorilla. So they shot the gorilla. So people were protesting. Poor gorilla. Well, they'd rather have a dead baby. Anyway, this kid was like seconds away from being killed. So the gorilla was shot. But the truth is, from a Torah perspective, if the gorilla would have actually killed the baby, would have had to stone the gorilla. So Ramban says that's just the way it is. The Sefer HaChinuch has a different approach. He says this is not just about the owner. This is ultimately about the rest of humanity. People, he says, have to see that life is the most precious thing in the world. And anybody or anything that takes life does not deserve to live. That's a message. It's not just a message for the owner. There could have been other ways to find the owner. You could have found ways to punish the owner. He said, but it's not just Gzeiras HaMelech. There is a rhyme. There is a reason. There is a logic. The Torah wants us to understand, in no uncertain terms, that taking a life is never acceptable. That's the most severe form of capital punishment. And the message is, this is totally unacceptable. This is, we go to the nth degree. And Sefer HaChinuch says, all mitzvahs are to teach us to be a mensch, to refine us. And this is something that requires refinement. We have to respect life. How many people are there today who think that it's okay to take life for their causes, whether it's religious causes, political causes, grievances, frustrations, became common today. Human life means nothing. You kill a baby 2 minutes before he's born. They didn't do anything wrong. And then if the person gets on my nerves, if I'm not getting what I want, I get in a car and run him over. This is where I have my grievances, I have my issues. And this becomes a norm in society. I blame everything on the Islamofascists, because now every Meshuggah who has a problem just decides he's going to kill people. It's all a domino effect. And the Sefer HaChinuch says the Torah wants to make sure that this never happens. So the Torah says even an animal kills somebody, the animal has to be put to death immediately and in the most severe way. Okay, so if the animal is put to death in the most severe way, why do you have to say, you're not going to eat his meat? Obviously you're not going to eat his meat. It's not kosher. It wasn't slaughtered ritually. So Rashi asks this question. He says, "Mimashma shenemer sokil yisokil asher." From the fact that the Torah says that you have to stone this wild bull, any idea shehu nevela? Do we not know that it's a nevela? A nevela is an animal that dies in a process other than ritual slaughter, which is quick and painless. And this is not quick and painless. This is not shechita. So it's self-understood. Do you have to say you don't eat it? We learn this elsewhere. The Torah talks about kosher meat. You learn whether which meat you could eat or which meat you can't eat. Elo, ma Talmud leimar, what is the verse trying to convey to you? V'lo yeyochel es psorei, you shouldn't eat his meat, meaning, sha'afilu im shchotoi la'acha shenigmar dinoi, even if the owner gets smart, he hears where the judge is going. And then he's standing at the door, he hears right away what the verdict is. He sends a text message to his buddy, slaughter him now, before they come get him. The court's after him, slaughter him. And they come there, animal's dead already. Sorry, dead already. It's dead. But the meat was slaughtered. They had a shochet waiting in the wings, took care of it. So the Torah comes along and says that even if you were to do so, asur ba'achila, it's prohibited from eating this animal. Okay, so you can't eat them. But there are other uses for meat, including taking the meat and selling it to somebody who doesn't have to keep kosher. A non-Jew doesn't have to keep kosher. You can turn it into dog food. I don't know. There's all kinds of things you could do with meat. Meat has uses. So Rashi says, "Bahanos mamein, bahano minayin." How do we know about benefit? How do we know that's proscribed? And the answer is, those are the last words of the pasuk, "Ubala sher noki." That it says, "Ma talmud leimer." What is the meaning of the words "Ubala sher noki"? That the owner of the ox, the owner of the bull, is clean. It's ka'odam ha'imr l'chaveri, like a person says about somebody else, yotza pleni noki min ha'chasav. This guy left clean. He's cleaned out. Fleeced. Cleaned. Nothing left. You know, like these people who inherit a lot of money and they think that they're big tycoons, and within 5 years, they're fleeced. Nothing's left. Even in English, we use this language till today. Cleaned out. Cleaned out means there's nothing left. So it's a person says to his somebody else, "Yotza pleni noki min hachasav." This guy was wiped out, cleaned out. Ein loy bahem hanah shel klum. Therefore, we see that he cannot have any kind of benefit whatsoever. Rashi says, Zehu medrashi. This is the way you expound the verse. Upshutei, but the most literal, straightforward interpretation, kemashmoy, is the way it sounds. Lefisha nemar, because it says, bemuad, by an ox who is expected to do things like this. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. Vegamba all of Yumos, his owners should die as well, which incidentally is not literal, but that's what it says. So you would think that in this situation, where an ox gored, the owner had no expectation. This was not the normative behavior, but it happened. You would think that the same kind of culpability applies. Hutzach leimer betam. So we have to say with an animal who's called a tam, and we'll talk about the tam in a minute, that obal asher noki, that the owner of the animal is clean, so to speak. Clean means there's no guilt. He didn't know any better. So basically the idea, as we're going to see in a few moments, is that an animal is not presupposed to be a killer. We don't assume animals are killers. And therefore we don't expect to take precautions like that. Most animals will never kill a person. However, if an animal demonstrates violent behavior time and again, so then we say this is no longer a normal animal. This is a crazed wild bull. And if I have a crazy wild bull, I need to be responsible. So from the moment that it becomes a pre-assumption, that we can pre-assume that there's going to be violent behavior and there's going to be things in which the animal does which are off the charts, then you have responsibility. And once you have responsibility, well, that's another story. Now remember, we're talking about the bull who doesn't kill on an average day. If somebody had a pet lion, that would be another story. That's what lions do. Somebody had a pet rattlesnake. He said, oh, I'm so sorry, my pet rattlesnake bit you. I don't know what happened. He's in a bad mood today. That's what rattlesnakes do. Well, if the Rottweiler bit off your tuchus, I'm so sorry to hear that. Why did you bother it? That's a Rottweiler. Why don't you take care of your Rottweiler? Why don't you put him in a cage? How do you let him run free? So when an animal does certain things, is prone to certain behavior, and it's not unexpected, then the owner has a responsibility. And if something goes wrong, there will be clear culpability. And that's why we use the example of the ox, who's not a violent animal. It's a very good farm animal, and people use him all the time. It's just suddenly he's acted, I turn into a wild bull. So the wild bull, you got to deal with the wild bull. But if the wild bull says, this is who I am, and he now has a pre-assumption, that's another story. As the Torah goes on to teach us, v'imshur nagahu, but what if this is a wild bull, a goring ox, mitmeil shilshim, from yesterday and the day before? Oh, that's another story. Another story. In that case, v'huad bivolov, then the owners have to be warned. And if they will still, they're aware of this, and they were warned, and they still didn't provide the proper supervision, the hamis isha isha, and it killed, this animal killed a man or a woman, hasher yisakel, then the ox will be killed, but in this instance, v'gam ba'olav yumas, here the owners will be killed as well. They will be put to death too. So Rashi says, what does it mean, mitmoil shilshim? In other words, this is an ox who gored yesterday. This is an ox who gored 2 days ago. When we say the words Tamil Shilsham, Harei Shalish Negiches. The point is that the number 3 is what establishes something as permanent. So if it happens 3 times, then I know that this is a pre-assumed wild ox. And the wild bull has to be reined in. And if he's not, V'hu Adu Bolov. Rashi says Lashon Hasra. This is a terminology which indicates warning. And this warning was done by Edim. The man warned us. This is talking about Yosef. Yosef warned us, don't you dare show up here without Binyamin. So it's a heid. Heid means warning.
So fourth time, guilty. So first 3, it's like the warning. Third time is the...
Right, so of course you could ask the question, if the animal was killing 3 times, how did he stay alive that long?
Right.
So there could be 3 answers to that question. Number 1, that he attempted to kill. So we know already that this is an animal who's prone to killing. Number 2, it could be an animal who killed and escaped, and killed and escaped. But now you already know that he's prone to doing this, right? And number 3, the animal could have killed other animals. And if he killed other animals, once again, so I know he's a killer animal. He's a killer ox, but not the kind of ox that's going to be put to death. So this is the notion of a huad bibolov, that he gets warned. Kemoi heid ubano ish, like the man warned us. The hamis o ish, the person is put to death. So Rashi says like this. Lefisha nemar ki yigach. Because this entire story, this narrative opens up with the words, when he gores. Ein li ela shehemisa ibnigicha. I only know that this is the case if it's a killer bull. But what happens if a misai binishicha? I only know if he killed with goring, because there's kiyigach. What if he didn't use his horns? What if it wasn't goring? What if he killed in a different way? What if it was binishicha? What if it was biting with his teeth? Or dechifa, he checked him into the boards and knocked him down. Or beita, or he kicked him with great force. Minayin, how do we know that this is qualifies in the same way as goring? Talmud Lema Vehemis. The Torah comes along and says Vehemis. So Vehemis tells me in any way, shape, or form, regardless of how he killed, if the ox killed or the animal killed, then the animal is going to be held culpable. Vegam ba'olav yumas. And the owners are going to be held culpable. So Rashi says this is not in the earthly court. This is bidei shomayim. Because you see, when it talks about the animal, it says sokel yusokel. It says how he's going to be put to death. And how is he put to death? With stoning. So somebody asked me, why stoning? And the answer is, that's the most severe punishment that the earthly court is able to carry out. Here it doesn't say what kind of punishment. It says vehemis, he will die. But if you want the courts to do it, you have to tell them how to do it. So the answer is, we don't want the courts to do it. Vehemis means bidei shomayim. Hashem says, you killed somebody. You were negligent. You didn't take care of things. You caused somebody's death. You'll be responsible. But in God's eyes. Yachal bidei adam, you might think that this would happen, the people have to put him to death. Rashi says, I have a clear proof that's not the case. Talmud Leimar, the verse comes and teaches me, and this is much later on in the book of Numbers, in the 35th chapter. It speaks about a murderer. And it says, Mois yumas hamaka ritzeyachu. The person who delivered the blows should be put to death. He is a murderer. What does this teach me? Aritzichosei atahergei. A murderer is put to death. When a person committed murder, what we call first-degree murder, they did so with intention, then they're put to death. However, in a situation here where it was a lack of supervision, and maybe he was callous and didn't take responsibility seriously, but he didn't try to kill somebody. So, for the murder or for the killing that was done by his wild bull, he's not going to be held responsible. So this kind of completes this idea. So we have this idea of what happens to the wild bull who kills, becomes a killing bull, the goring ox. And then we talk about the responsibility, culpability of the owner. If it was unexpected, he does not a prophet, how is he supposed to know what's going to happen? If he could have known that this animal is negligent, or if the animal is prone to violence to begin with, would the food be an ox, for example, right? Your pet cheetah. So in that case, the person is going to be responsible, and in Hashem's eyes, he'll be put to death, meaning you leave it to God. God has his ways of carrying out justice. If you were negligent, and because of your negligence, you caused the passing, you caused the loss of life, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he will find a way to settle the scores. All right. So what do we learn from this wild bull? We learn Torah so we can take wings, right? We learn Torah we can kind of like... We can elevate ourselves from our daily reality. How is this going to affect our daily reality today? A story, so you come to the office this morning and say, what did you learn about today? Oh, we learned about a goring ox. Really? Yeah, about a goring ox. What are you going to do with a goring ox? Who has an ox? Well, it's not only an ox. It could be anything. It could even be my dog. It could be anything. I agree, Chas v'Shalom. Your dog is a very nice dog, Nathan. He would never hurt anybody.
Very nice.
I know. And if he would hurt you, you'd be in shock. That's the point. Right? But what if your dog all of a sudden became crazy? And he started attacking people? Chas v'shalom. Yeah, I agreed. What would you do? You might put him down. Right? Or you'll lock him up and put him in a... you're not going to allow people to be exposed to danger. So let's turn to page Lamed. The Rebbe really helps us attach wings to this wild bull and elevate the situation. Here's a lesson that we can all borrow from the story of the goring ox and download it into our lives. We learned that echad shayr ve'echad kol behema. Even though the pasuk speaks about the goring ox, actually it's not only a goring ox, it could be any animal. The Torah is telling us that when an animal kills, it has to be killed. The Torah is telling us that when an animal is expected to kill, when that's become the norm, then you as the owner have culpability and responsibility. So the Rebbe says, Rashi adds, it could be any animal, any beast, any bird, any living thing. The pasuk, the verse, spoke about that which is common or expected. Yesh lefarish hasaklal. The Rebbe says, we may well elucidate this terminology, dibur hakasav b'heva, which incidentally shows up no less than four times in Parshas Mishpatim, where we talk about different halachas, different rules, different laws, and Rashi tells us, quoting our sages, it's not only about X, Y, or Z, but dibur hakasav b'heva. The Torah spoke about the typical things, what it expected to happen, what's common, but it's not limited to the common reality. It's just using a narrative, a frame, in which to convey the law. So, kaasher misrachashim meurois yitzin migeder haragel. When extraordinary things happen to us, not everyday things, extraordinary things. Nitin bekalos lahaker bekach shemurois elu boyam umayla. We don't have a hard time saying that was an act of God. In fact, even your insurance companies will claim something could be an act of God. When something so unusual, so unexpected happens, they decide they're not covering. I had a teacher years ago in Philadelphia. His car was parked in front of his house. There was a terrible storm. It's like a quasi-hurricane. And the tree fell down right in front of his house. And it fell right onto his car. It smashed his car in half, like right, and the insurance wouldn't cover it. They said, this is an act of God. It's great. They became big believers all of a sudden. When people see something extraordinary happen, they say, wow, this is mamash. It's me'es Hashem. It's like, this just happened. You think it just happened? How can it just happen? It's like, it must be from God. It has to be. It can't just be. So that's easy. That's easy. You say, it's easy to notice things which are totally off the chart, that they're miritzeinei v'hashgachosei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They must be coming from the will and from the supervision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It must be so. Ulam, b'imei shigra, regular days, you know, the days that Murphy lives in your house. Stuff happens. Hakomus now kesed sidra, everything is going fine. Regular stuff, nothing unusual. Keyemes netia, there exists a predisposition amongst people, leaders bekach, to see within this, quote unquote, Olam kimenhagenoig, which literally translates as the world is the world, or stuff happens. Stuff happens. So don't tell me God. Stuff happens. Things happen all the time. It's expected almost. Companies factor these in their profit and in the loss. They factor in there's going to be 5% of manufacturing won't land on the right side, or that certain cars will be lemons. It's factored in. They know that's the way it is. There's actuarial science behind it that's going to tell you that things are not always going to go well. And say, oh, it's God. What God? It's God. This is every day. This is Murphy. It's Murphy's law. This is the way it is. Okay. Don't give me God over here. And it becomes very difficult for people to actually see past the obfuscation and the smokescreen and the concealment that Hashem set up. The kosher yeser, it's much harder lahakir to recognize shahakol neveya, that everything ultimately comes milmaila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Much harder to see. The Rebbe says this is the deeper message of the Torah when it introduces a goring ox, and Rashi says, stop, it's not an ox. It is an ox. It says, it's an ox or anything else like it. Dibur hakasav b'heva. So when we say b'heva means in the present tense. Not past tense, not future tense, in the present tense. As in things that are happening. The everyday reality, the things that unfold on a daily basis. You can know with certainty there's going to be a motor vehicle accident somewhere in Ontario today. Probably multiple. So that's an act of God. What act of God? I could have told you before the day started it was going to happen that way. It happened the way 2 days ago and 3 days ago and 4 days ago and 10 days ago. That's just the way it is. People might think chas v'shalom. Gam oisa meurois shebechinas haiveh. The Torah comes along in the story of the goring ox and delivers a message with a powerful punch. My dear friends, when something happens that you think, well, happens, think again. That's not correct. The Torah speaks to you in everyday language. Ha meurois, ha shigrosim, ha misnalim, al pikloli ateva. the things that happen, the ordinary things, the everyday things, the regular things, the expected things, the actuarial science predicted things. It must be so. That also comes from the scripture. Who's the source of scripture? God. In other words, the scripture we refer to here is the way God created the world. How did God create the world? With 10 utterances. Where are those 10 utterances found? In the scripture, in the Kusuf, in Bereishis. That's how God created the world. And it is those utterances of Hashem that energize and enable the world to exist. I'll call Prata with all of his details. Each and every single moment, God is bringing the world into existence all over again. Umikan. So from this we can hail and derive Shaychusei Shal Klal Zeh LaParshas Mishpatim. This is why this rule appears so many times in this parsha. Rashi evoking it no less than 4 times in one parsha. Because this parsha is talking about Aisekes Begilui Alekus Shebechai HaYom Yom. Here we have to bring God's message and we have to bring God's light into daily life. This is the Torah portion that speaks about civil law. This is the Torah portion that speaks about people getting along or not getting along. This is the Torah portion in which we speak about responsibility, culpability, compensation. Things that happen, everyday life. And people think that everyday life, well, that's not godly or that's not Jewish. That's whatever, secular. Wrong. That's not secular. And that's the beginning of the parsha we say right away, that we have to go to a court of Torah. What does Hashem say? What does Torah say? Because we must know that even everyday life ultimately also comes from the creator of heaven and earth.
So why
everything is Hashgacha Pratis.
Why does Mishpatim start with Evan Hebrew instead of a more fundamental message?
That's an excellent question, but beyond the purview of the next 30 seconds. Okay. So it's a good question as to why the Torah begins with Evan Hebrew and why each one of these laws appears in its rightful place, and there is a message in how it unfolds. But the broader message that we can learn from the Goring Ox is that even everyday predictable things are directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we live with that sense of faith, and we bring God into our daily lives.
I think we